Positive Chats podcast getting started. We kind of got so far into a discussion, and it was such a painfully honest conversation, we had to bring him back and to kind of bring up a round two. Brad Hambrick is with us this morning, and the book is called Angry with God, An Honest Journey Through Suffering with Betrayal. Brad, thanks for coming back on again, sir.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate the invitation.
Oh, man. Thanks for coming back on. You know, it's wild because it feels like there's a moment where you feel like you almost produce your life because you have that mask up. And there are certain things that you don't want to lead other people in on because either it could be embarrassing or because you know that you're not going to be received as well. And you kind of internalize a lot of things when you probably don't have to. But it's a thing that we have. So then you go through that, and there are moments when you can just be completely, and you lash out at God. Is that something that we're allowed to do?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the things that we ask is, like, what's prompting it? Is it that I didn't get that date to the prom that I wanted, and that's devastating, and I feel like God totally betrayed me because he owed me a great prom date? Or is it, hey, I just had a loved one pass away of cancer and I don't know what to do with that? Is it, I was a part of this great church and then everything started falling apart, whether it was a leader's immoral behavior or conflict within the church? Is what I'm going through, is it a matter of me being selfish or immature, which is kind of the first example I gave? Or is it a byproduct of grief? Because when I was writing my book, what I was writing about is when anger is a part of grief, and we are crying out to God, and we are using decibel levels and a loud voice and maybe sharp words, but the core of what we're saying is I'm hurting. Mm. And that's the part where when what we're saying is I'm hurting, God says, bring that to me all day long. That is, I want to be your rock. I want to be your refuge. I promised you I would never leave you or forsake you. Bring that to me.
Well, let's clear something up and just to get this thing out of the way early, because you mentioned betrayal a second ago. Yes or no? Will God ever betray us?
Does God betray us? No. Does everybody else in our world, as fallen human beings, sometimes maliciously and sometimes non-maliciously, yes. And so the betrayal in the subtitle is from the people around us, not the God above us. Mm.
So then probably if we're going through grief, if we're going through some issues or struggles, probably why are we going through it?
The ultimate big answer is we live in a really broken world. In Genesis 3, everything started to fall apart. Internally, our bodies decay and get sick. Socially, we are in relationship with other people who are just as sinful as we are. You look at the social systems in which we live with all the chaos and unpredictability that they bring, that the dominoes that spill out from Genesis 3 reach into every part of our life. And that's going to result in a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of grief.
We're on with Brad Hambrick, and the book is called Angry with God, An Honest Journey Through Suffering and Betrayal. And notice the operative word, the honest journey. The honest journey. And really coming face to face with yourself. And it's really kind of an interesting thing because there's a section on resolving your grief, and you write about valuing a less innocent faith. What is that?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that when you talk to somebody who's been through something hard, and they look at you like, I'm not the same person I was before. Like, this changed me. And if we take the word innocent, and let's just for a moment in our mind's eye, imagine we've got a child on the floor and they are playing, and we look at them and we just sigh and go, they are so innocent. What is it that we're seeing that's drawing out this response that we're going, that is very different from who I am? Well, they're playing like the world's going to go completely fine, like dinner's going to fix itself, like there's no bills to be paid. They don't have to worry about the garage door breaking or the roof leaking. They're playing like they're in a good, safe world. That's innocence. When we go through grief, It's one of those times when the brokenness of this world smacks us in the face. And the opposite of innocence isn't jadedness. It's maturity. It's the kind of thing that Proverbs affirms and compels us towards. But sometimes in Christendom, we can have this near naive view of faith. Unless things are happy, clappy, and celebratory all of the time, then somehow you just don't have the right kind of faith. And when you go through something hard, and that faith becomes less innocent, it becomes more mature. It says we do have to take an account for living in a broken world and manage our life accordingly. We need to realize that God values that faith. He views it as good. It's not a lesser faith simply because it's mature and less innocent than it was before.
Hearing you say that almost paints the visual. We were designed with a storm in mind. When you see a Jeep commercial, you never see a Jeep commercial brand new on the showroom floor. It's always out in the mountain somewhere, getting rough, rugged, and dirty. Mm-hmm. It's always like, you're about ready to break that Jeep down. If you're going to have faith, you might as well get in a bit of a mix-up and a tumble somewhere. I mean, you're going to have to use it at some point.
Yeah, I mean, we don't live lives on the beach sipping from a coconut. We call it vacation for a reason. It's when we unplug from life and try to get away and hope nothing goes wrong in that time. Our faith is going to show its value, its worth, the difference that it makes in those hardest times. And so, yeah, I think that image is a good one.
Well, you also mentioned yet too, the reader of your book, they have a friend to walk through with. You probably have to be kind of choosy in who you allow to walk alongside you.
And that's one of the things, one of those early chapters says, here's the kind of marks you're looking for in a friend. Somebody that's not going to quick fix. Somebody who can listen, somebody who's durable enough to carry some hard things with you. But the book is written in such a way that it's meant to facilitate conversations between you and that friend so that the friend doesn't have to have all of the answers to the angst and perplexedness that we bring to a moment when we're hurting. That friend gets to be an ambassador of God's eyes, of God's presence, of God's ears, that they are, because pain is lonely. Mm. Gracious. I mean, that one of the things that we often think about the wincing, like the painfulness of pain, but the loneliness of pain where we just don't feel like anybody gets it or even wants to take the time to get it. And so having a resource that becomes the kind of thing that a reader can go through with a friend, somebody that they choose, and it's the whole purpose of the friend is just to be a dialogue partner. The book kind of facilitates the conversation, is meant to set those relationships up to succeed.
Brad Hambrick, the book is called Angry with God. It's an honest journey through suffering and betrayal. Brad, a good chance to get to understand you a little bit. Maybe as a life story that happened with you that was just like, I need to get this book out. Did anything trigger this book?
Well, as your readers get to know me, or as your listeners get to know me, as if they become a reader of the book, I think one of the things they'll find is that I write to explore a subject, not because I think I've arrived at it. And so I kind of, when it says journey, that's really how I write. I don't write as the sage on top of the mountain, but as the tour guide walking through something with you. And really the prompt for me, because in my role as a pastor of counseling, inordinately, I jump in at the deep end of the pool of life with people who are going through the hardest parts of their life. And just a lot of common themes where Christians who would go, I feel bad for feeling bad. Like, if I'm honest, I've got to tell you I'm upset, but I don't know if I'm allowed. Is this permissible? Is it good? Have I got to clean myself up and get my act together before I can boldly approach the throne of grace? And hearing that enough, it was like, I'm not sure that we've done a great job as churches of helping people put into words those hot laments, grief that flashes red with anger, because this world is not the way that it's supposed to be, and it is upsetting. And so just having had enough of those conversations over the years, that it felt like, man, a good stewardship of getting to be a part of these people's lives would be putting something together where somebody doesn't necessarily need an appointment with a counselor. They could have these kinds of conversations when they're hanging out with the people they already do life with.
You write while you're exploring through something. Is it possible then that part of the things that we're going through, we can use to teach somebody else and be a tour guide?
Right. And I think that's 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, where Paul says, God has comforted us and we comfort others with that comfort that we have received. That when we're the one going through the difficult season, one of the ways that will be redeemed, maybe not the only way, we don't have to do the scales and necessarily say it's worth it or that kind of thing, but one of the ways that gets redeemed is when I take what's hard in my life and it makes me more relatable to you in a season where something is hard in your life. That, again, none of this is intentional, but most of our church services, we come together, they're relatively brief, whether they are 60 minutes or 90 minutes, they are well managed, there's a program, there's what's supposed to happen, everybody knows the rituals, and whether we wear a coat and tie, we tend to wear what is nicer, we show up, we smile, we call each other brother, sister, we say things to give the impression that life is okay, kind of where you started, that we live in a day of image management. And that sense of, when do I get to be real? What, like, authenticity is so attractive. And when I can say, hey, I may not hurt exactly like you're hurting, but I have hurt and it has disoriented me. The fact that one Christian can say that to another Christian, and really any Christian should be able to say that to any other Christian, because if we're honest, we've all been there. Pain disorients us. And for somebody to hear, I'm not alone in the confusion, that does as much as whatever approximation of an answer we're going to get about what's going on in the middle of the storm.
Especially in such an Instagram world. Usually hear the phrase, you know what, that life isn't as glamorous as they make it out to be.
Right. And, you know, if you look at what we get to click on hearts, we get to click on thumbs ups, we click on celebratory emojis or icons or whatever you call those things. There's not a lot of icons of compassion, of identifying, that even the way that you know that what I have said is resonating, whether it's a picture or a Twitter post or something like that, it falsely skews positive. And when we've got something to celebrate, that's great. But when we've got something that's hard, it's more isolating.
Yeah.
And we live in a culture where it's like, how do we invite people into the hard? You know, and even that phrase, if I could, you know, you were saying like a moment ago that there was a mentor of mine, the way that he and his wife would debrief their day. They would ask what was good, what was hard, what was bad. And even the simple differentiation of hard and bad, I think, is so useful. Because there's those things that are bad. Like, we need to repent of those things. It is a gracious gift of God that we can repent for anything that's bad, and we know we will receive forgiveness. But there are things that are not good, but also not bad. They're hard. Those are the things that we grieve. Those are the things that we process. We don't repent for grief. It's a journey. It's not a fault. And so how do we invite people into those areas of our lives that are hard but not bad is really what this book is about. Now, it's that on the larger scale, but if your reader or your listener is going, yes, that I've got parts of my life that are hard but not bad, and the only basket I knew to put them in was the bad basket, so I always felt like God was upset with me and I didn't know why I was repenting for this thing that was hard but didn't seem bad. That's what this book is about.
It's part of a series too, right? Because you have this book and there's a series included around it.
Yes. And so with New Growth Press, it's a part of the Ask the Counselor series. And it's a team of people. So this is the only one in that series that I've written so far. But you get someone like an Ed Welch who writes about, hey, I've got a psychiatric disorder. Like I've received a diagnosis. I don't know how to make sense of that. How does my faith inform what I do with this? And few people like are as gifted as Ed in navigating that kind of terrain. He does a wonderful job. Bob Lapine with Family Life has one on marriage. Michael Gimbola has one on just the stress of decision making. That in a day when we both get the blessing and the burden of getting to make so many decisions that it seems overwhelming, how do you process the stress that comes with the number of decisions that we get to make? And so each of the books in this series is just like, this is a counselor who says, hey, I'm passionate about this area. I've worked with a lot of people, and this question comes up enough that it deserves to have that conversation in written form. That's what this series of books is about.
Brad, I'm going to ask you something because I think about this often. All of us have different personality types. Some people are more accepting and trusting than others. Some people are more reserved. Some people are more cynic. People are just different. Some people like having laws and rules. Others are more creative and they feel that rules are meant to be broken. You see people go to church, they live it for like a couple of weeks and then they fall away because maybe their personality type, they're more logical. Others are more heart-driven. With different personality types, how can we gauge those who are in an anger situation, lashing out at God? It was an act of God that put me here, and they have nothing to do with God anymore because their style, their personality type, I'm done, that's it.
And that's a broad question. I'll key off one word you use to help us narrow it just a little bit. How about that person who doesn't want anything to do with God anymore? Which meant they did. They were a part of church, and for a period of time, the things that the church teaches, they found meaningful and valuable. And then something happened. When you look at folks who walk away from their faith, who walk away from the church, it's usually not because Christianity is complex. It's not because they couldn't wrap their mind around the Trinity or the hypostatic union just didn't make sense to them. That is not the reason that people walk away from the faith. They walk away from the faith because of pain. That there is a life experience that the faith that they had at the time that they went through that experience, they couldn't find a way for their faith to account for that. And that really is the audience of when what I'm going through seems to overwhelm my faith and I'm yelling up at the sky, why? And I think God is upset with me for being upset. And that's where, like, if anger, if we view it only through a James 4 lens, that all anger is selfish anger. And there is anger that's selfish anger. And James 4 is great and glorious, and I praise God for it. But if we view all anger as James 4 selfish anger, then that person who goes through a overwhelmingly hard season and they think God is against them, they're going to turn their back on God because they think God's a jerk. Now, if we also recognize there's Psalm 44 anger, there is that anger when we go through a hard season and we're disoriented and God meets us with compassion. And our friend may be asking us a dozen questions that all pop with the question, why? And we need to resist the temptation to be Job's counselor. Yeah. Because, you know, Job's friends, Job's there, he's like, I don't understand what I did. And they kept guessing at the why. And the more they guessed at the why, the more condemnation they heaped on Job. And Job's friends are not the hero of the book of Job's. They're kind of the dunces. They did their best. They guessed. But when somebody's going through that kind of season where Job didn't sin, I mean, the book of Job goes out of the way, that goes out of its way to say that what he needed was compassion amid his grief. And when we can come alongside of somebody and go, hey, even when we're grieving, bad is bad. Even when we're grieving, destructive is destructive. We can't excuse those things. But we will be with you in the hard. Mm. We will comfort you as an ambassador, not just of God's forgiving grace, but his sustaining grace amidst a season like this. I think that's where people get surprised by the compassion of God and the God that they thought existed and the God they thought was mad at them for being upset. They realize he is a tender father that will sit with them on their bed when they cry and don't know the answer to their questions.
Thank you, Brad. We're on with Brad Hambrick, and the book is called Angry with God. It's an honest journey through suffering and betrayal. And Brad, where do we find the book again?
Pretty much anywhere that you find, you buy books. So Amazon, New Growth Press is the publisher. Their website has it there. Either of those places, they could get it.
And then how do we find you online?
BradHambrick.com is where, like, anything that I write or do video, almost everything there is free. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad Hambrick.
Brad, thank you again. Appreciate you being on today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.